hundreds, then thousands. The university gained wealth, prestige, and professors who were known the world over. The time came when the past was too distant to have its name in the present, and so the city and the university were renamed. Arval City began. Today, 1,000 years after the fall of Hightower, Arval City is the greatest urban center in all of Noel, perhaps even in all of Shayara. Tallinn is the closest rival, but that wonderful city has been plagued by terrorist attacks for 18 years. Arval City built itself on the ruins of Hightower, its infrastructure rising in tandem with the ruins in some places and covering the old stone completely in others. While Hightower was stone and mortar, Arval City is made of glass and steel, its buildings rising hundreds of feet in the air and catching the sun to make it a city of light and promise and might. At the south end of the city, the buildings have been built right into the mountainside. The mountain is Bree, and even after its hard trials and the great erosion of the third cycle, it is still the tallest mountain in the world. No one knows for sure how tall it is, but its peak pierces the atmosphere and soars even taller still. The university sits high upon the mountainside, even higher than the buildings, and sprawls across the vast bowl that was made in the mountain in a time before memory. From the other side of the city, the university looks like some great, dark specter, menacing Arval from its perch. Bordering the city to the east is the beginning of the String Fields, and to the west is the Spider Sea. To the north are a smattering of small towns and hamlets, one of which is Michelson, where a powerful sorceress named Andy was riding the train, heading to Arval City. It was the 211th day of the ninth cycle of the First Age. So it began. Chapter 1. She was flying. No, not just flying, but soaring high above the gold and rolling fields of Michelson, not too slow or too fast, but at that perfect speed that allowed her to feel exhilarated, while still giving her the presence of mind to see and feel and need her surroundings. Soon, she left Michelson behind and was so high that she couldn't follow her shadow on the ground. The farther she was from home, the higher she flew until she was nearing the edge of Arval City and the clouds were nearing overhead. She felt so good, so unlimited, that she thought her heart would burst as she soared in the soft, iridescent glow of the evening sun. There was no wind, no friction on her skin, and nothing whipping or rolling in the breeze. And even though she knew this was odd, she liked it, the feeling of flying and being still at the same time. It felt like she belonged. She was only just nearing Bree when she was swallowed by darkness. Then there was no wind, no light, no sound, no sensation, or movement at all. There was only a nameless, formless pain, an anguish so vast and terrible that it wasn't just in the darkness, it was the darkness. She couldn't tell if it was coming from some other source or from herself, but it was crushing, maddening. But then she heard it. It was even worse than the anguish. Screaming. Ma'am? Andy woke with a jolt, her books slipping from her lap. She turned toward the voice and saw a stewardess. Ma'am, are you okay? Bad dream? I'm fine. Yeah, bad dream. I'm sorry, was I too loud? No, not at all, the stewardess said, suddenly smiling. You never made a sound. It's just that, well, the spell glass. She pointed toward the window and Andy followed her finger.